If you would, look at 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 9. Today, we're going to be handling hospitality. Since we're going to be on the kick of invitation through 2026, we're going to continue to remember and remind you to be hospitable. Be hospitable to one another. Look at this. Is this not a line to Baptists? Without complaining. Let's learn what that means today. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit. Any word of knowledge you give to me to speak to a person or their situation, if you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. And then, Lord, you look at all of us today. You see me differently. I'm your teacher, your preacher. On me is a greater and a more strict judgment than you have on anybody in this room. And I know that, and I accept my place and rightly dividing your word. So in the name of Jesus that I pray, his name that I preach, amen. You can be seated. It's good to see you all today. When we're dealing with hospitality, scripture talks about it a lot. Don't know if you pay attention to it, don't know how fast you read your scripture or your devotions, but it is a constant theme of hospitality. Not only that, it can be and is a spiritual gift that God gives us, but it basically is the welcome and the care of guests. You'll find it in the Old Testament. You'll find it in the New. When I refer to people, I refer to them as guests more than I do visitors. In my own language, as a leader, visitors have the connotation of being a one-time. They're here and then they're gone. But a guest has a picture of them eventually returning. So I often want to refer to people as guests instead of just a visitor. We'll learn that hospitality is a characteristic of God himself. We're going to learn later on about his own personal invitations to us. And so we were and we are products of hospitality to the Lord, because we were considered strangers and aliens. Well, I want you to look at Psalm chapter 39, verse 12 for just a moment. Hear my prayer, Lord, and listen to my cry for help. Do not be silent at my tears, for I am a foreigner. I'm a stranger residing with you, a sojourner like all my fathers. That's who we all were. We become that. It just becomes a picture of just seeing and understanding God's invitation into our own life. Hospitality is a requirement, a biblical requirement of a leader, especially a Christian leader or a church leader. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 for just a moment. An overseer, therefore, must be above reproach, the husband of one wife, self-controlled, sensible, respectable, there's the word, hospitable, an able teacher. That church leaders just have a welcoming presence about them, even an approachable presence about them. Look at Titus chapter 1, verse 8. It says, but be hospitable, loving what is good, sensible, righteous, holy, and self-control. And that's all that in Titus. It's always an instruction to Christian leaders there. Sometimes hospitality can be a test of heaven, of God himself. Look at Hebrews chapter 13, verse 2. Don't neglect to show hospitality, for by doing this, some have welcomed angels as guests without even knowing it. That you have entertained an angel. You're probably wondering, as I say this, have you ever done that? Do I think that's happened to me? I do. I have a number of instances in my life where I think it was a test. I'll tell you about one of them. When I was doing my doctorate and I was out in Pasadena at Fuller, I was out there 2 weeks for a while, and like maybe the spring and 2 weeks in the fall. And usually I would fly either Andrew out or Julie out or Julie and Laura or all of them the second week. I think they wouldn't have minded being in California for 2 weeks. I just don't know that they wanted to be with me for 2 weeks. But so I'd fly them out the second week, and we'd be together. And back, Andrew was much younger, and we were experiencing a restaurant called the California Pizza Kitchen, which, if you're from Kentucky, that's a big deal, you know. And we would go there, and they offer everything to eat, basically, but it's mainly there. They had really strange pizzas, let's just put it that way. And we would go there, and we would eat. One time we were leaving, and L.A. is just crazy, busy, traffic, everything. We were able to walk there, and we were walking back, and a guy had broken down with he just ran out of gas, causing a traffic jam. Gas station was close by. I think it was $5 a gallon then, there in Pasadena. It was crazy. And Andrew's like, "Dad, we got to help him." And I go, "It's a scam." You know, I said, "It's, you know, they're going to get us and they're going to throw us in the van." And, you know, I've been, you know, when I was a, he, and so there's this lady that came to us. It really, to me, she came out of nowhere. And she was like, "I know that guy. I can help him." And Andrew's fidgeting for money, and I'm wanting to help, but I'm just a little slower at it, you know? Andrew's just wanting to dive right in it. And make a long story short, we gave them money. She gave him money, and people were able to push him into the gas station and get it taken care of, but because he had other people in the car with him. But I look back on that, and Andrew and I both looked at each other like, what did we just experience? And even that lady had the delight of heaven on her face. I mean, it was just uncanny. You'd have to be there to catch all of it. But I think that's one out of several in my life that I've entertained an angel. And thankfully, Andrew wanted to show hospitality. I did too, but he did it a whole lot faster than I did. But you need to watch. Because the supernatural is just not on TV, okay? The supernatural is even the unseen world is what we deal with far more than you'll give credit to. And remember, the unseen world is more real than the one we live in. It's more real than the chairs you sit in today, okay? Don't forget that unseen world created the one you live in. And in the fact of that, we show hospitality because we don't know that we're not welcoming guests from heaven itself and people from heaven with the angels. So it can even hospitality can become a test upon us. Hospitality is the mission of Jesus and the church. Look at Luke 9 for a moment, verses 1 through 6. It says, summoning the 12, he gave them power and authority over all demons and the power to heal diseases. Then he sent them to proclaim the kingdom of God and to heal the sick. Take nothing for the road here, nothing, no provision. He told them, no walking stick, no traveling bag, no bread, no money, and don't even take an extra shirt. Whatever house you enter, stay there and leave from there because we want to find this place of ministry to work out of. If they do not welcome you, if there is not hospitality there, if they don't receive you, then leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. In verse 6, so they went out and traveled from village to village, proclaiming the good news and the healing of God everywhere. The picture here is that people didn't have inns to stay in. They didn't have hotels and motels like we do today. Some, because we know the story of Jesus, you know, there's no room in the inn. And even the one of the robber in Jericho, where he is sent to an inn to take care of him. They had them, but they were few and far between. The way it happened back then, it happened mostly through hospitality of the Christian home. I can remember that being a part of my growing up, really, just within the church, that if a missionary came through, somebody, traveling preacher, an evangelist, they usually stayed with the preacher, you know, or they stayed with another family within the church. It becomes something of both believers and unbelievers that you show hospitality to them. But on the mission of Christ, you find that place of peace to work out of that will receive you. I want you to know we practice that. We practice that. Justin Ross, who's planting a church in Thailand, just got some pictures from him, training pastors there as well. What's the first thing he did when he went to that area of Thailand? He found a house of peace to work out of, a connection where they received him, and then they're able to build from that. So we do that to believers, and we also do it with unbelievers. But the passage we started off with is 1 Peter 4:9. It said to practice hospitality, but it says don't grumble about it. Don't grumble. Well, let's talk about that for a moment. You want me to? There's a guy that I've read, and his name is Wayne Grudem, and a lot of these thoughts come from him that he had listed, and that is grumbling is a repeated complaint. And you just keep repeating it over and over until you get a consensus is really what happens. Because you really want to know, do you feel about it the way I feel about it? You're looking for a consensus. You're wanting more people to join you. When I was putting this together, I couldn't help but do this because you're looking for people to agree with you. And my mind went back to the 1970s to an album called Frampton Comes Alive, and a man named Peter Frampton started, and he put together that old tube in that voice box with his guitar. And if you all remember it from the 70s, only those of us who can remember it, do you feel like I do, right? And that's what we look for. We'll grumble and complain all around us until we find people who agree with us. And then it validates our complaint. That's what we do. If you'll just stop, I could bring up UK basketball, you know? I could just bring that up for a moment. You've got a starting five in your head, and you'll talk about it till you find somebody else that's got the same starting five as you. You know, it'll just happen. It happens with politics. It happens with everything else you can imagine. But it just becomes repeated complaint, and really nothing ever comes from it. That can really even be good is what I'm referring to. Grumbling is looking to start a rebellion. It looks to start, okay, well, let's rise up against it. Grumbling works against faith and joy and even thankfulness. It can also work against God himself because we are called to be thankful. In all our situations, we can be grateful. We can be grateful. I'll give you four examples. So I go to bed with the chickens, as they used to say in the country, and I'm tired, and I really look forward to just going to bed. And so Julie wakes me up about 10 o'clock on Thursday night, and it's Laura. She'd called, and I said, is she okay? And she says, no, she's not okay. And I was like, what's going on, you know? And so Laura was in pre-op. She had emergency surgery Thursday night. She's in a hospital she's familiar with because she herself is a doctor, and she teaches in the medical school and the pharmacy school, and all those things are there. And we're 17 hours away driving wise. My daddy wanted to go Gadget Arms and just stretch all the way to Austin, Texas, and couldn't do that. And I'm looking at flights and, you know, where can we get to her? And tell me what hospital you in. And she's like, well, what does it matter? And I said, what do you mean, what does it matter? You know, I want to know what hospital you're in. And then I'm like, well, I was helpless. We were just literally helpless. And the only thing we could do was pray for Laura. Obviously, we did that. Julie and I both did that. But I had to start saying thanks instead of grumbling. Like I was going, man, why she won't live in Austin, Texas? Why can't she come back and breathe the great godly air of the state of Kentucky? You know, why does she want to be down there? Just a bunch of yuppies down there running around with their shirt off all the time. You know, all the guys are strutting like gobblers on a spring day, you know, and I'm just like, my gosh, you know, and I started like, man, if she was back here, we could take care of her. And I went on and on and on and just grumbling and fussing, you know, because I wanted to be there and I couldn't. She had just been to Paris by herself. She's a very independent young lady. And, you know, I got to thinking, you know, this could have happened over there. And then I said, God, I thank you that it's happening there. And then, Lord, I got to grumbling. We couldn't be there, but her colleagues were right there with her. Spent the night with her, took care of her, got her car back, took care of her dog, got her food, you know, just did whatever. I was able, and we were able to go, instead of grumbling, to stop and find the thank yous in that. That of where it happening. It's a hospital and the people know her, you know, and she knows them. It may have been better off for her than here with everything that is around her. Do you see my picture? That if we were to just listen to our grumbling for a moment and then just stop, it can lead to thankfulness. And it needs to. It needs to switch, because grumbling will just work against your faith and your joy and even your gratefulness. And it can be against God himself, because he says, be thankful in all things, for this is the will of God, to be thankful. So why is grumbling mostly against God himself? Why is that? It's because of his character. It's against his character of his invitation to us. Let's take the people who came out of Egypt. They were slaves in Egypt, and Moses is delivering them and getting them out. And they get so mad, they start grumbling, that they tell Moses, we were better off being slaves in Egypt than following our God out here. Can you imagine them saying that? They did say that. But they wanted to go back to being a slave instead of being free in the Lord and following him. In fact, their grumbling got to the point where it kept delaying them getting into the promised land. At one time, they were just a few miles from the promised land. Not that big of a deal. I had a professor tell me maybe 2.5 and 3 miles from the promised land. And so they sent those spies over to check out the land. Remember? And the spies came back, and Joshua and Caleb are like, man, let's take it. Man, we can. Our God is great. We've got faith. He's given us his word. He goes before us, and let's go take the land. And then the other spies, the majority of them, said, no, they're too big. Their walls are too thick. Their forts are too fortified. Things are too great. We can't do that. And of course, which one took place? Well, the majority said no. They said no. They stayed in their grumbling instead of what God had laid before them. And this is how their grumbling goes against even God himself, because his character is a character of inviting you to continue to follow him. It's an invitation to us to be able to follow him and see incredible things that he does. One of the reasons we grumble so much, and I'll probably get an amen, but it'll be an inward amen. I don't know that it's going to be an outside hallelujah amen. But the reason we grumble so much is because God invites us to follow him. And when that happens, you and I have to change our plans. It disrupts our schedules. and it rearranges the order of our lives. That's why we grumble and complain, because it makes us step out. And guys, I want you to read the book of James. I love the book of James. But James says, don't go planning and saying, I'm going to be in this city next year, and I'm going to do this and do business and make money and do this and that. James gets down and boils it down to real simple language. He goes, you don't even know what tomorrow's going to bring. And does it mean not plan? No. I mean, I'm going to bring some dates up for vacation Bible school. You're looking at your vacations. Is there anything wrong with that? No, there's nothing wrong with that. But I would ask God to be a part of that. In other words, James says, don't do this without asking God, how does this fit in your plans for my life? And we're running into it greatly as a church. I run into it with other pastors talking about it. And our conversation is, it's just hard to get people to do anything anymore. And the point is, we're not willing to change our plans or let the kingdom of God interrupt our schedules or rearrange the orders of our life. And we're just not willing to do that. And it does do that. The kingdom of God does rearrange and change and disrupt our lives. But it's all for the kingdom and for the glory of God. In other words, breaking it down is, we're to be hospitable without grumbling. Just be a welcoming person. Just be a welcoming person. I've noticed that if you're going into a restaurant, especially if you may have to wait a little bit to get, the wait time, and I open the door and let other people go in front of me, and they're like, it's unspoken, but it's telepathy. You know, I may get your table. You know what I'm saying? I mean, let's be honest. Have we not seen people go in and we know the tables are few and we not dart in front of them? But I've learned to open the door for them, let them go, you know? And they don't know how to take that. They don't know how to take that. I remember in seminary back in the 80s, and a lot of big question of women in ministry was going on, and there was a lady walking down the hall. It's called Norton 195. It comes out of our old lounge, and everybody's going to class, and there's this big old boy from Georgia, this big old burly boy from Georgia, and he opens this door for a lady. And she took offense to it. She said, are you opening this door because I'm a lady? Like, you don't have to do that for me. And he goes, no, ma'am, I'm opening this door because I'm a gentleman. And I thought, what a great line, you know? It really means the hospitality without grumbling. Let's just boil it down into this. We are to be welcoming people. Will you have welcoming faces? Doesn't mean I agree with them. Doesn't mean that at all. But we're welcoming folks because God has welcomed us. Look at Philippians 2:14 for just a moment. Do everything without grumbling and arguing. Be a welcoming person. So I'm going to talk about Melissa Scott back there for a moment. Don't go thinking she's going to be mad at me. I asked permission to do this. And actually, I asked Greg's permission, but I knew he'd probably forget to ask her, so I finally did get to talk to her. So on Friday, I pray at the House of Representatives. And Melissa has an office that has to do with working with the House. And so one of the first things you do if you're one of the invited guests is you have to check in with Melissa. So I was there early, ate breakfast with a lot of people there in the cafeteria. My part of it starts a little before 9 o'clock, and I text Melissa and let her know I'm here. I'm in the cafeteria and I'm here and I'm meeting with people, eating with people. And so the one reason I want to brought this up is Melissa was welcoming from the moment she actually didn't see me. She yelled from her office, "I hear my preacher." I don't know how I should take that, but so I went, which let me know where her office was, because the Capitol's being reconstructed and the House and the Senate are in new temporary buildings. And so I went there, and she just gave me the full tour. Did I know most of it because I've been there before? I did. I had an idea how the layout would be, but Melissa walks me right through it. This is the door you go in. I need you right here at this spot at 5 minutes till 9. You get done, you're going to walk out this way. I'm going to show you where the bathrooms are. She showed me how to be able to get out. And even in her office, she showed me a mirror in case I had a moment of vanity that I needed to check, you know? And but I appreciated that, and I do, Melissa. I appreciate that incredibly, because she didn't miss a beat. If I had any question that I had, it was answered in her welcome and then her guidance. Everything was taken care of in the way that it should be. Guys, we should be like that. We should be like that. I like it that we change the times and have more of an hour in between the services, because I know I act like I don't watch what's going on, but I know more what's going on than you think I do. And I watch you converse and talk and sit around. It's beautiful. I love to see that. But you'll go, I don't know people. Well, go meet them. Just go up and go, listen, I've been coming here a long time. How long you been coming? You know, who are you? Where are you from? That kind of thing. Just be in your whole life, your everyday life, just become the welcoming presence of you is a picture of the welcoming presence of your God. That's who we are. And figure it out. You know, figure it out on how to meet people and have conversation with people and learn that. Just recently had a wedding, and I was sitting down there about where Walt is, and one of the hostess for the wedding, I said, come down here and meet me. That's what I said. Come down here and meet me and sit down. And we needed to talk through the wedding anyway. I just want you to see that, you know, just have a welcoming presence about you. Show hospitality and do it without grumbling. Mainly because we grumble, because it just changes our schedules. That's what it really boils down to. So is it worth it? Absolutely, it's worth it. It's the invitation of God. Do I need to be wise in this? Oh gosh, yes. Please, Matthew 10:16. Be wise in this. Look, I'm sending you out like sheep among wolves. Therefore, be as shrewd and wise and sharp as serpents and as harmless as a dove. Do I need to pick up every hitchhiker? Please, no. 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 I'm not saying all those things. Am I supposed to let everybody in my house? No. Well, what am I supposed to have? You're supposed to have discernment. As a believer, God gives that to us. Psalm 119, verse 125 is, I am your servant. Give me understanding so that I may know your decrees, what you ask of me. It will become a sense of what it is you need to do. Do you, especially ladies, do you need to be extra careful? Please, please be extra careful. But God will be generous and gracious in you. If your bells and whistles are going off, then pay attention to them. Pay attention to them. But if you seek God guiding you to do things to help people, then do that. Show hospitality and do it without grumbling. I'm proud of you for inviting people, greeting people, whether you're officially on a team or not, welcoming, showing hospitality. It'll grow the kingdom of God. It will absolutely bless our church. But I promise you, it will rearrange your life. And I got a feeling that's why most of us say no. The truth of it is, your lives need to be rearranged. They need to be interrupted by the kingdom of God. They need to be reorganized into the priority of God. And the hospitality of God will do those things in our life. Instead of a worldly change, our lives need a kingdom change. So where do I start? You start in the Word of God. Remember, we want you in the Word and the Word in you. Find your devotion. quit making a resolution of I'm going to read the Bible all the way through. That sounds great and lofty, but it's just be consistent. Just get in there and get in the Word, whatever your devotion is, and look and see in your devotion and prayer. And then the second thing, where do I start, is a picture of, we say this at our church all the time, it's where we live, work, learn, and play. That's where we begin. You don't have to make it up. It's all right there for you. All the ministry you want in your life is right there. Just live, work, learn, and play. So the first invitation that we have in our lives is we invite Him into every area of our life. That's what we do. Search me, Lord. I invite you. I've got a problem here in my life. I invite you here to this. All right, Lord, I've got a praise in my life and I want to thank you for it. Just learn to invite Him in your situations. The other Thursday night, that's what we did. I couldn't be there. I couldn't get there fast enough. Julie obviously wanted to be there quicker than me, and I wanted to be there fast. You know, we're trying to figure out how to get Mama there, but God has given people around Laura to take great care of her. But do you understand what I mean? We had to invite Him into her situation and then our feeling of helplessness of not being able to be there. And let me tell you, He answered every bit of helplessness we had. Because we get to go, who's going to do that? Well, what about the dog? And then, you know, taking care, all of it taken care of. We just invite Him in that situation. Then do what you've been doing. Invite others here. Just invite others to church. That's not the win, but it's a beginning. Invite them. And when you do, show hospitality to sit with them. Do the Melissa tour. Melissa, can I just call that the tour here at Hope Church? Show them where the bathrooms are. Show them how to check in their kids. Introduce them to your leadership of your church. You've already begun to do that. And it makes all the world of difference. So invite Him into those areas of your life and then start inviting others and just practicing hospitality. You'll get to going, well, if I bring somebody else to church, I've got to call them, see if they're going to be ready and are they going to be there. And the truth is, it's hard enough to get you here, let alone some by the family. And that's where it needs to rearrange your life. Start planning ahead and doing that. And let's be blessed by that, and let's bless other people. The Lord has welcomed us, the stranger, right? He has welcomed, we were His enemies, and He adopted us as His sons and His daughters to live in His house forever. And let's realize we show hospitality too without grumbling, which basically means just be welcoming to the believer and the unbeliever. Be wise. Don't do something stupid. Be wise. Be safe in what you do, but then also be open to the invitation of God to join Him in a kingdom world. We're going to give you an invitation in a moment, and we're going to ask you if you want to be prayed for, prayed with, prayed over. Any decision that you want to make, it may be that there's something here today pressing you that you need to invite Him in your decision making, in clarity, whatever it is. We just even confession with that. We invite you to come, and you may hear, and you've never surrendered your life to Christ, and today you want to begin putting your faith and trust in Him. Church, let's stand, if you will. Will you do that? Counselors, we're going to ask you to find your place. The team's going to lead us, and the invitation is this: whosoever will, for whatever reason, you come.